Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
Whoa. All right. Welcome to the Dan Bongino Show. It's the only way I can start off the show. I mean, it seems like an eternity since Friday night and the Rosenstein 25th Amendment story happened because so much is broken over the weekend. I just said to Joe, I don't have any time to waste with you folks, and I don't want to waste your time. So let's get right into the show and not waste another breath. Today's show brought to you by our buddies at Wax RX. You know how much I love my sponsors. I only use products I will use myself that work well, and that I can recommend to you with a smile. Wax RX isn't the sexiest product in the world, but as I told you, I had a big problem, which is true, with wax buildup in my ears when I was in the Secret Service because of that earpiece thing. I wish I'd had this product back then. Here's a customer review to help you avoid expensive trips to the doctors to take care of your ears. This is a real review here. I used to have to go to the doctor twice a year to get rid of my stubborn, hardened earwax. With my rising cost of health care and thus my double deductible, I'd have to spend $60 per visit. That's $120 a year to treat my ears. Now I can do it myself with Wax RX and a significant savings that doesn't require me to miss a half a day of work. Thank you, Wax RX. Right now, folks, I have a special deal for you. This stuff works like a charm. You're going to be shocked. Actually how well it works. Some of it you'd be like, whoa, what happened there? Right now you can try the Wax RX system by typing in gowaxrx.com. That's gowaxrx.com. Use the offer code Dan at checkout for free shipping. Don't wait. You have no idea what you might be missing because of inner earwax. Who knows? It might just change your life. Visit gowaxrx.com. Use offer code Dan. Great product. Can't recommend it enough. Okay. Folks, you are about to witness. If you follow me on Twitter, I tweeted this out. It may not be news to you. Many of you don't, so I'll tell you here. You are about to witness this week absolutely unparalleled psychopathology from the far left. I'm getting this from very, very good sources. Let me explain to you how, so I don't just throw out there, because sometimes people say that. I got sources. Here's what I do. I'm not going to tell you who, because they'll kick me off their email list, but I subscribe to very specific email lists on the far left. I also follow some specific accounts on Twitter. And by following those accounts and going to those accounts, I told Joe this many times, I can get a kind of unique insight as to what the left is doing. I don't want to say unique. I know other people that do it too, but some of them have been outed. So on one of the email lists, the left is preparing this week with regard to the Kavanaugh sabotage hit job.
Right.
The left is preparing for an unprecedented level of destruction. Folks, now I said this on Friday, and what happened last night, as predicted, you know, a new allegation has surfaced from Ronan Farrow in The New Yorker about Brett Kavanaugh being involved with some exposing himself incident in college. Also, Joe, a creepy porn lawyer, Avenatti, who has the credibility of a fire ant, is putting out allegations that Kavanaugh was involved. I'm not even in some kind of sexual assault. It's so hysterical, the allegations, that I don't, you know, it's hard to take Avenatti seriously. Mm-hmm. I warned you. Follow me on Twitter if you're interested in this stuff. I'm, you know, I don't need any new followers. I'm just saying that because I get this stuff and that's the first place I can put it out. You are about to witness unprecedented levels of destruction. You are about to witness unprecedented levels. I'm talking about political destruction and sabotage of people's lives. Now,
right.
Here are a couple of things you're going to see, and I'm going to explain to you why, because you're not going to hear this in the mainstream media, why they're doing what they're doing. Folks, it's not just that they want Kavanaugh stopped, okay? That's obvious. They want Kavanaugh stopped. Yeah, great. You don't come here for that kind of analysis.
Right.
There's a reason they're panicking now, all right? I'll get to that in a second, but here's what they're going to do. This is from them. I'm not making this up. Number one, Joe, there's big money organizing this. This is not free. If you read their emails and you join their conference calls, Joseph, and you listen to what the left is saying about the Kavanaugh thing, they will bail you out of jail. They are providing free transportation. They are providing legal services. Joe, who do you think's paying for this? Are me and you paying for it?
No.
No, no. This is big time left wing groups. I'm not going to say who, but you can probably figure it out. There are big time left wing groups organized right now, spending huge amounts of money to make sure this Kavanaugh nomination disappears stat. This is not free, folks. This is a sophisticated, organized sabotage against a more than qualified candidate for the United States Supreme Court. Yeah, again, I'll get to why. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah, you always hear George Soros. You know, I don't know if he's involved or not.
I kind of knew where you would go with that. Seriously, I could like predict it. Here's number two. They're providing training. They're providing training on specific days this week. Some of it's already happened on how and what to do. Again, this is sophisticated. This is not some grassroots effort. This is a sophisticated, organized effort to take this guy down. I already mentioned the free transportation. They're preparing for multiple scenarios, folks. So the GOP, which has shown itself this sadly to be this feckless this week and weak, you know, I'll get to that in a second, too. They are prepared for all scenarios. They were prepared for a vote on Monday. They're prepared for a vote on Thursday. They're prepared for hearings on Monday and Thursday. They are preparing for multiple scenarios. Again, hammering home the point. So you don't for a second think this is a grassroots ground up thing. This is an organized top down thing. It is very sophisticated, ladies and gentlemen. Know your enemies here.
Bingo.
Do not for a second underestimate the capabilities of what's about to happen this week. They are preparing for unprecedented levels of what they call civil disobedience, what I'm going to refer to straight up criminality. They are going to block entrances to offices. They are going to sit there and disrupt hearings in an unprecedented manner. You are going to see some very, very serious protesting this week in an effort to almost entirely shut down what's happening in the government. The blocking of the entrances are going to happen at very specific offices. Why? Because if you signal a moment's weakness here, which many senators like Susan Collins and Jeff Flake have, you become a target for the left. Jeff Flake is going to become a target of this group. Expect his office to be absolutely deluged with people. One more note on this before I move on as to why this is happening. So now you know what they're going to do. Folks, I got this from the horse's mouth. I'm not making it up. I have no interest in misleading my audience anywhere. This is the stuff that's actually in the works, has been planned. I take it to the bank. I tweeted on Friday this stuff was going to happen. And sure enough, on Sunday night, all of it started to come out. Now, with regards to Flake, what I'm also hearing is Flake is the one holding up this entire process. I've warned you about Jeff Flake for a long time. Jeff Flake's legacy will be single-handedly to keep the liberal dominance on the Supreme Court or to keep the split and not allow the Supreme Court to return to its original intent and an original interpretation of the Constitution as people elected Donald Trump to do. That will be Jeff Flake's legacy if he submarines this whole thing. It is Flake from Arizona. Now, you may say, folks, if you live in Arizona, well, what can I do? I deeply respect so many of you, by the way, that sent me emails saying I did what you said, Dan, or asked. I don't, you know, I request things. You're my audience. I respect you. A lot of people said I emailed my senator's office. I called the office. We, you know, be cool about it. You know the deal. I don't, you know, we're not liberals. I don't need to lecture anybody. But I'm asking you in Arizona. I know Flake isn't running again, but Flake is about Flake. He has always been about Flake. Flake has other ambitions, potentially to run for president, to absolutely bombard this guy's office with emails and phone calls. Be cool about it. Again, I'm not lecturing anybody, but it's important that we do that. We don't want to take that liberal baton on that. But be cool about it and bombard this guy's office with emails. He is holding up this whole thing, folks. It is Flake doing this. Grassley, McConnell do not have the votes. They don't have the votes right now, and it's because of people like Flake. Well, they need one more to fold, but they are not going to take a vote with any uncertainty here at all. Now, let me leave you on this before I get to the why and what's happening. Folks, if the Republicans blow this, I was absolutely furious. I was out. I don't mean to tell personal stories because I have a lot to get in, but it's important here because it relates to the understanding of what's going on in the field and how Republicans who listen to this show on the Hill, and I know you're out there, please, I know the good guys who listen. I know the bad guys who listen, too. You are grossly, grossly underestimating the fury of the Republican base if you blow this. Joe, I know you were getting calls on this on CBM this morning.
Oh, man, yeah.
People are furious like I haven't seen them since Obamacare. If you blow this Kavanaugh thing and blow this seat on the Supreme Court, folks, forget the midterms. Forget it. And let me be clear. I am not, because I deleted a tweet this weekend because of this. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. Get out and vote. Bring 10 friends with you. There are absolutely no excuses. I don't care if the thing goes down. If it goes down or not, should not affect your vote. I do care if it goes down. But if it goes down or not, you still have to vote. Why? Because even though the Republicans have shown themselves to be feckless cowards, a lot of them up on the Hill, the alternative in the Democrats is absolute destruction of Donald Trump's presidency. That's the alternative. This is not a situation anymore of good or bad. It's bad or worse. So don't misinterpret what I'm saying about voting one bit. But I'm telling you, if they blow this, that there's no amount of motivation I can give to people to overcome their absolute vitriolic, volcanic rage at the Republicans blowing this opportunity here. You guys better step up and take this vote this week. I cannot warn you. I go out with my wife once in a while. We get it some time, and we went out.
Yeah.
And we were having a good time, and I genuinely enjoy spending time with my wife. I know, you know, it's not really, but just bear with me for a second,
cool,
folks, please.
Cool.
I enjoy it. Yeah. I really do. And it's my only day off. It's it. I don't get Saturdays off. I work on Saturdays. I get Saturday night into Sunday off. I just wanted a few minutes. But you know what? My wife, who's been patient with me and understands this, sometimes these fights, you don't get a few minutes. And I sat there at this bar restaurant we were at right up the block from my house, and I sat there tweeting. You can look at this timestamp on it. Look, go to Saturday night if you think I'm making this up. And it was me furiously tweeting at the Republican Party after delaying this thing till Thursday, the vote till Thursday, that you're blowing this. Now, folks, why was I upset? Two things. Now we're getting to the why portion. The Senate Judiciary Committee and Grassley delaying this appearance by Ms. Ford, the accuser of Kavanaugh, until Thursday rather than Monday, the Democrats have already won. Now, they've won a battle. Let me be clear. They haven't won the war, but they won the biggest battle of all. Joe knows where I'm going with this.
Yes, I do.
That Thursday date was very strategic by the Democrats, and the Republicans got rolled. Why? Because if the vote is taken on Thursday rather than Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, the chances of Kavanaugh being seated for the October 1st public sessions of the Supreme Court are now gone. Now you are going to have a Supreme Court that's seated with a 4-4 split. And anticipated originalist constructionist votes we anticipated Kavanaugh making will not be made. The Democrats have already won. Ladies and gentlemen, why do you think the Ford legal team, Ms. Ford's legal team out there, why do you think they were pushing for Thursday? All they needed to do was delay the vote 3 days, and they now have, they've already won. That battle is now won. Grassley should have never, ever folded. They made an extremely, extremely poor case here to the public. They offered Monday. They offered Tuesday. They offered Wednesday. Joe, please tell me this makes sense.
Dude.
Because I said this to my wife, and she goes, Dan, you've got to say that on the show.
Oh, it's the stall, baby. It's the stall.
It was the stall, and the stall until Thursday was all that mattered.
Right.
Battle number one was moving it till Thursday so Kavanaugh cannot be seated for the upcoming session. Democrats have already won. They rolled the Republican Party. Now, there is a chance at saving this nomination. Not for the October 1st thing is already gone. Kavanaugh will not be seated. That you can almost guarantee. They've already rolled the weak Republican Party. Grassley has a chance to redeem himself a little bit here. Call the vote. Call the vote this week. Because here's what's happening now. Strategy one, Joe, was move it till Thursday. Strategy two is they cannot, under any circumstances, have Dr. Ford testify. Especially under oath, folks. They cannot. Please, I'm begging you to take this check to the bank, cash it. I'm telling you, the holes in this story are mountainous in size. She has provided, Ms. Ford, three witnesses who have all failed to corroborate this story. Some have engaged in outright denials that it happened. Did you hear what I just said? Dr. Ford has provided three witnesses, not Kavanaugh. She's accused him of very serious things that her witnesses strongly, strongly dispute. Mm. Her story is questionable at best. From what I'm hearing, And I'm gonna, gosh, if I put this out, if I'm wrong, I'll have to take it back. But I'm hearing there's no way she's gonna show for that Thursday hearing, or if she shows, there's no way it's gonna happen. Now, if she does, again, but the people I trust on this, who I've been all weekend, I've been working on the show for you because I wanted you to come here and get a full scope of what's going on. The people I trust on this are saying there's absolutely no way she testifies under oath because the story has too many holes in it, ladies and gentlemen. She's opening herself up legally to some very serious things if this story turns out later on to not be true as she's telling it. She's not going to be there on Thursday. Now, the Democrats, folks, remember, they've already won battle number one, delaying it till Thursday, which was a critical day. Yeah. But battle number two right now, in case you're not picking up what I'm putting down, is to at all costs avoid the embarrassment of pulling her testimony on Thursday. Because make no mistake, for as biased and hackish as the left-wing media and the now evil Hill Democrats, there's no question. We're talking about unadulterated evil here, the destruction of a human being based on uncorroborated stories and the complete failure to provide any evidence whatsoever. Remember, as Rush Limbaugh said, accusations are not evidence. Accusations are accusations. Evidence back up the accusations. They are destroying this guy's life. But the Democrats take it to the bank, know full well they cannot under any circumstances put Ms. Ford under oath. Because when the story falls apart, they are opening themselves and Dr. Ford up to some very, very serious liability. Now, why am I telling you that with regard to what happened last night, which was anticipated if you read my tweets? They needed a backup plan. Plan A, delay until Thursday. Get it on the record, the Thursday hearing. We cannot let this Thursday hearing happen. We have to have a backup plan. The backup plan is going to be to run with additional unsubstantiated, uncorroborated stories like the story we heard last night from Ronan Farrow and Ms. Ramirez that allegedly at a party at Yale, Judge Kavanaugh in a some kind of drunken card game or whatever they were playing exposed himself. The story is even more weakly sourced than the Ford story because allegedly Ms. Ramirez has said multiple times to reporters that she wasn't sure initially that it was Kavanaugh that did it.
Right.
There is no corroboration. There's no evidence. Matter of fact, people who they claim are at the scene cannot corroborate the story at all. Folks, this was the backup plan. The backup plan was to throw out more uncorroborated, unevidenced, unsubstantiated charges. And what immediately happened as predicted? What did Dianne Feinstein do, the ranking Democrat on the committee? She sent a letter asking for what, Joe? Cancel all the hearings this week. Why? Wait, why, Joe? Why cancel the hearing? What does Dr. Ford's under oath testimony have to do with Ms. Ramirez's new uncorroborated, unevidenced charges? What do they have to do with one another? You want to hear from Ms. Ramirez? Bring her in. Put her under oath, too. That's not what they're asking. That's not what they're asking, Joseph. They are asking for all hearings to be canceled. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, if it happens on Thursday and Dr. Ford testifies, I'll have to take it back. But I am telling you, if you want my opinion, again, I can't predict if I'm not Zartan or whatever here. Was that guy from Big? Remember that movie Big with Tom Hanks? I can't do any of that stuff. I'm just telling you, I am basing it on all the evidence I have, some quality sourcing, and my experience as an investigator in the past. I would be absolutely floored and astonished if Ms. Ford shows up on Thursday. This is they're deploying a strategic plan B with more unsubstantiated charges. Now, here's what's going to happen. I have never steered you wrong on this show. If Grassley doesn't fold, Republican, the chairman, doesn't fold, and by doesn't fold, I mean doesn't agree to delay the hearings like Feinstein's asking. Basically, they want this whole thing canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Mark my words, you are going to see more and more and more of these unsubstantiated, uncorroborated charges, and they are going to get more hysterical, folks. They're going to go from sexual assaults to exposing himself to gang rapes to I'm telling you, it is going to happen. I know what's going on with these guys. Follow the. I wish one day I could put their email groups out there, but if I do, they'll block us all. Watch what's going to happen. Now, this is why I said in the tweet, it is up to you, if you have yet to do so, call and email your senators. I don't care if they're Democrats or Republicans. Call their offices and absolutely, under no uncertain terms, demand the vote is taken Thursday. We've already lost one battle. We've already lost one battle for Kavanaugh to be seated before this next term. We cannot afford to lose a second one. If it is delayed past Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, it's over. And the ramifications, I think, during the midterms will be severe. Again, I'm not telling you not to vote. There is nothing keeping me from the voting booth and or bringing 10 friends. I'm telling you, though, I cannot control. I'm not Thanos, okay, with the Infinity Stones here. I can't control people's behavior. They are pissed. I heard it in the gym. I heard it in the barbershop. I heard it at a restaurant. I was in a Pottery Barn in the Palm Beach Gardens Mall. I ran into three people, talked to me for 20 minutes while my wife was buying an outdoor couch. They were on fire, volcanic over what's going on here. If you blow this, it is over. You will get destroyed in the midterms. It is your jobs at stake. It is not ours. Folks, they cannot. They absolutely cannot blow this. Now, one final note on this, because I've got so much to get to. It was such a busy weekend.
You know, I've got cuts for you. Don't forget your cuts. I don't know if you want to use them or not, but they're here.
Yeah, I know. I want to make sure I get this. Is important.
Well, okay, I just want to remind you.
Don't have the spine for this, I don't mean this as an insult either. Well, there's no other way to say that. But I'm saying this to lawmakers, activists, and others. If you don't have the spine for what's coming, turn off the TV this week. No, I'm serious. Turn off the TV this week if you don't have the spine for this, because the fight coming this week is Manichaean. The left has drawn a red line. They do not have an emergency brake on their behavior like we do. Conservatives believe in big R rights granted by God, even big R rights granted by liberals. There is nothing you can get us to do to physically attack people, punch them in the face. We don't do that, not because it's just the wrong thing to do, but because our very credo prohibits it. Your big R, now we will defend ourselves. We're not suckers. Don't take that the wrong way either. But we will not do what the far left is capable of. They have no emergency brake on their behavior because they don't believe in big R rights granted by God. They believe in the power of the state. And what is at stake, Joe, with Kavanaugh? The absolute discretionary power of the state using the courts to overturn things that happen in your life and to govern over your life in a tyrannical manner. That is what it's at stake. They know Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Her seat is going to be open at some point in the future as well. The left is drawing a red line right now. If you don't have the stomach for this, tune out. Because you're not helping if you're weak-kneed. Because people smell weakness. People sniff it out. And if you're in a group and you're going to encourage others to be weak, I'm asking you with all due respect to stand down. If you do have the cojones and you got the nerve and you got the fight in you, for a seriously Manichaean fight right now, now is the time for you to step up and do. Talk is cheap. Now is the time for you to call. Now is the time for you to email. Now is the time for you to Facebook your support, for you to send tweets for your support. Now is the time for you to email your friends to call. You have got to get involved in this fight and get your fingers dirty. The left has drawn a red line. I'm telling you, this is as important to them as the election was. If I could, I would, but I cannot put the email on my email list that I saw this weekend. All right, again, they'll kick me off. The email is horrifying what they're planning. I'm sorry, but one real final thought. Folks, this is not about Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh is a casualty of war to the left. This is about the left's allegiance, their love affair with the big S all-powerful state. They are losing it. They are losing the courts. They're losing the circuit courts. And their last refuge is going to be the Supreme Court. They are putting everything in this full-blown blockade and obstruction. Everything. It's time for us to step up and fight back. And please, please, don't interpret anything I'm telling you about these weak-kneed Republicans as an encouragement not to vote. Because your vote is against the other side at this point. And there are some decent candidates running. But please don't interpret it. That's why I deleted a tweet this week. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Because if people were misinterpreting it as believing you should stay home. Under no circumstances should you stay home. There are no perfect choices in life. Your choices are right now between, sadly, a lot of feckless Republican candidates and outright evil, malicious Democratic candidates who are taking the entire, they're going to watch the whole thing burn. Get your early votes in. Oh, I don't like early voting. I don't care. This isn't the time to make that fight. Get it on the ballot then. Get your vote in early. You could, God forbid, you could die. You could have a heart attack. A kid could get sick. Get your vote in early. I hear people tell, I don't want to condone early voting. Don't care. Get it on the ballot then. This isn't the time for that. So you got a bunch of Democrats who sink their votes in early. You got a couple hundred Republicans who get sick and can't show up on election day. Get your vote in early. Please, God, and I'm not using his name in vain. I'm begging you. Hear me on this. Get out and do the right thing. These people are, this is a, we are in an existential fight here for what we believe in. All right, hold on. I had a photo on something I just wanted to put out there. Hey, just one more thing on the, I know I keep, but it's important. Regarding the New Yorker and the new accusations, just a couple of things I got in an email last night from a friendly list I'm on. The New Yorker was not able to find a single eyewitness to the alleged Ramirez event, number one. Number two, multiple supposed witnesses named by the accuser again deny the event took place. Number three, people who knew the accuser, Ms. Ramirez, after Yale, say she never described this incident until Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination was pending. Don't forget it. All right, moving on, because I got a lot more to get to. Gosh, this news cycle, it's almost impossible to stay ahead of it.
Man.
Yeah, right? Today's show also brought to you by our buddies at iTarget. The iTarget Pro system is quite simply the finest way out there to increase your proficiency with a firearm. There are two things that matter if you're going to own a firearm. Safety first. Obviously, if you hurt yourself, you're not much use in defending yourself. Proficiency also matters as much. You have to be proficient. God forbid, you're involved in a self-defense scenario, you have to be able to engage that target and neutralize that target if, again, God forbid, you are involved in that kind of scenario. One of the best ways to practice your proficiency with a firearm is to dry fire. What is dry firing? Dry firing is when you safely unload the firearm. You check it twice, you check it three times. There's absolutely no room for error. You go to the range, whatever, you point that firearm in a safe direction, and you depress the trigger on a safely unloaded weapon. Well, why would you do that? Because there are multiple components to proficiency with a firearm. I spent my entire life in law enforcement with the best instructors out there, and they will all tell you the same thing. Your sight alignment, your sight picture, your grip, the steadiness of that grip, how high you have it on the back of the firearm, these things all matter. You can practice that without the recoil of a loaded weapon at the range by dry firing. Now, the problem with dry firing is you have absolutely no idea where the round would have gone because there is no round. The weapon is dry. The iTarget Pro system has solved that problem for you. The iTarget Pro system will send you a laser round. Laser. It's inert. It emits a laser, obviously. You will drop it in the firearm you have now. You don't have to make any manipulations. They will also send you a target that works with a phone app. You will never put this thing down. It is one of the best inventions I have ever seen. I cannot recommend it highly enough. People send me feedback. They think it's like a video game and they can't put the darn thing down for weeks. Watch your groupings go from basketball size groups to knocking the wings off a gnat in a week. It is that good. Go to itargetpro.com. That's the letter I, targetpro.com. Use promo code Dan for 10% off. You will not regret it. Send me your reviews. I'm that confident about how wonderful this product is. The letter I, targetpro.com. Promo code Dan. Okay. Secondly, been getting a lot of requests on Friday. How did you miss that interview with Hannity? With Trump said the about the Australian or about the foreign intel friendlies who asked us to slow roll the information. I didn't miss it, folks. I don't talk about things until I feel like I have something to add, even when it's central to the thesis of my book. A couple of things are going on here. Joe, you have that Nunes stuff ready to roll?
Ready to go.
Devin Nunes, who is always a wealth of information. And we can stop right in the middle. Joe's got all kinds of new technology over there now. Right?
Let me load it up on the other cart machine.
Yeah, sure. Do your thing. So, folks, here's what we got going on right now. President Trump gave an interview on, what was it, Thursday night to Sean Hannity before the rally in Las Vegas. In that interview, he's asked about the declassification of the FISA documents, the texts between Comey and others, and the 302s, which we've been talking about for a very long time. Now, President Trump has delayed the declassification of that and sent it over to the Inspector General's office for review first. A lot of you are understandably upset. I probably received, I kid you not, close to 300 to 400 emails this weekend. Whoa. People on fire. Wait, it was, I know, man. My wife and I read them all, and it was a lot. I get it. I understand you're upset. I am too. I want to explain to you, though, what's going on. But in explaining to you what's going on, you first have to understand it in context of what Devin Nunes said this weekend in an interview with Fox Nunes. Sorry, I always say his name wrong. Nunes. That's disrespectful to say the guy's name wrong, but I'm going to do it on purpose. On Fox and Friends this weekend, he gave an interview. Now, it's a long interview. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, so we're going to stop it throughout. But I'm going to play to you the beginning and tell you what's going on. I'm not apologizing for it. I still think he should have declassified. But I want to explain to you what's going on and why these foreign intelligence outfits that are friendlies are so worried about what's going on. Play that interview.
The president alluded to key allies calling and saying, don't release this. Could that be the Brits and the Australians who don't want us to know what happened during the Obama administration?
Yeah, so first of all, think about this. If the Brits and the Australians are calling our government to say, don't release the contents of a FISA or the Bruce or 302s, well, how would the Australians and the Brits know what's in
there? How would they know what's in there? Wait, okay. Go ahead, play a little more.
In there. They don't have access to it. So it's okay for the Brits and the Australians to know about this, but not for the American people to have transparency. That story doesn't hold water. What we do know is that we have the former foreign minister of Australia, who is the ambassador in London, who was meeting with Trump campaign officials, and he brought rumor intelligence to the State Department that opened up the investigation into the Trump campaign. We know that that guy has changed his story 4 different times.
Yes. Now, if you've been listening to the show since episode 628, none of this is news to you at all. What is Devin Nunes saying? Notice number one. I don't know if you picked this out, Joe. When Ed Henry, who does a terrific job on this interview, by the way, on Fox and Friends, proposes to him that it is the Brits and the Australians, did you notice Nunes doesn't fight back one bit on it?
No.
Matter of fact, he doubles down and says, what are the Brits and Australians? In other words, de facto answering the question without answering the question. Did you pick that up?
Yeah,
you missed
I did.
That?
Yeah. No, I got
okay,
it.
I know you didn't, but I'm saying to the audience, did you miss that? Because that's important. Because now we know President Trump was not specific in his interview with Sean Hannity about how foreign intelligence, how friendlies had basically asked him to delay the declassification, who exactly it was. Now I think we can stick a fork in that one, and we know, in fact, it was the United Kingdom and the Australians. Why does that matter? It matters for two reasons, and that's why I stopped that. Or there's more to this. I'll get to a little bit more. But I just got so much to get to here. But there were two takeaways from that. Number one, how do the Australians and the United Kingdom know what was in the FISA warrant? Ladies and gentlemen, they don't. It's not the FISA warrant per se. They are worried about the FISA, but for separate reasons. It's not the FISA they're worried about. It's paragraph one that worries them. It's the scope memo of why the FBI started investigating a political candidate for president in the Trump team at all that matters. And did you notice how after I'd stopped it, what does he seamlessly move into, Nunes? He moves into the Alexander Downer, George Papadopoulos story. Folks, you got to learn. What do I say all the time in the show, Joe? We need a Nunes translator. Nunes is very smart. He doesn't release classified information. He can't. He won't. He has been doing a spectacular job, a notable job, but he doesn't say too much at once because he doesn't want to jeopardize the investigation. But there's enough detail combining the Nunes translator with what's out in public to figure out where he's going. Because remember, Nunes knows the whole story. The whole story. Let me put these pieces together for you now using the Nunes translator. First, why are they worried about the FISA? They don't know what's in there. They're not. They are, but for separate reasons. I'll get to that in a second. They're worried about something else. He then seamlessly moves on to tell the downer story. What does that tell you? Well, if you listen to Nunes carefully, what does he say about Alexander Downer, the United Kingdom diplomat who meets with, the Australian diplomat, I'm going to be very clear, who meets in the United Kingdom in London with George Papadopoulos, and according to the New York Times, tells his sources that Papadopoulos discussed emails. He's now backtracking on that completely. I have an article in the show notes today. It's an absolute must read by Chuck Ross of the Daily Caller, where now even Downer is saying, Joe, and I quote, where is it here? Downer. That there was no nothing nefarious about the meeting. Downer is now completely retracting this whole story. Are you starting to put together what I'm putting, pick up what I'm putting down in this? Nunes also mentions how Downer went to where? What does he say in that? He doesn't say Downer's, whoever was associated with Downer went to the FBI or the CIA, Joe. He says they went to the State Department. Is it making sense now why these foreign intelligence entities want Trump to delay the texts, the 302s, and the FISA? Here it is. Let me just put it out there. I don't want to play games with you anymore. I'm not trying to tease you. I just need to lay down the steps before we build the Lego house. Foreign intelligence entities, Joe, are about to be embarrassed on an international scale like you've never seen. We have a long-established Five Eyes relationship, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, the United States, the United Kingdom. We have a long history of sharing intelligence through official channels. I've explained repeatedly why these official channels exist. They exist so that bad intelligence is vetted before it goes back and forth between the countries to prevent an international nuclear incident or worse. If we are going to share information with New Zealand, the United Kingdom, we want the information to be vetted by intelligence professionals. Ladies and gentlemen, that does not include the State Department. The State Department's intelligence capabilities are limited at best, are nothing compared to the 17 other intelligence agencies that do this for a living. What Nunes said in the Nunes translator there is that they basically, the United Kingdom and the Australians, are about to be embarrassed because information managed to make its way through their political channels back into the United States intelligence channels, not using traditional Five Eyes intelligence channels where it would have been vetted. Folks, please tell me you get this, Joe. Stop me if I'm not making sense.
We're good.
The way this would have worked in a standard intelligence sharing relationship is UK, Australian intelligence to US intelligence, professional channels on both ends, proper vetting, information makes it to lawmakers and decision makers in the United States. That is not what happened. That's why Nunes moves seamlessly from the FISA right over to the Downer meeting, and in the Downer meeting conversation mentions the State Department and not intelligence. Nunes has repeatedly said on Maria Bartiromo's Fox show and others, there is no official Five Eyes intelligence used to start this case. What does that mean, Joe? That means paragraph one was a political event, not an intelligence event.
Oh.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh!
This was a political investigation from the start, not an intelligence one. You've got to apply the Nunes translator. Now, he mentions the FISA, I believe, in the beginning. Again, I'm digging in a little bit here, but their big concern here, and I don't agree. I'm just trying to explain to you why Trump may have done this. We do have significant intelligence sharing relationships with them now based on ongoing terror threats, these Five Eyes countries. So I don't mean to minimize that. I want to be clear where I stand. I think that decision was a mistake. I support the president, but I have to tell you what I think is right. They need to declassify this now. The demands and the needs for the American people to know far outweigh what the needs of foreign intelligence entities, and what happened here was so critical that if we don't get answers soon, and the president's going to do the right thing. He's going to do the right thing. I wish there weren't a delay. There is, but he's going to do the right thing on this. I'm confident of it. But it's not just that they're worried about the informal intelligence channels that were political. Again, it wasn't intel to intel Australians, UK intel, US intel. That's not what happened. It went through political outlets first. An Australian diplomat, Downer. Downer was not an Australian intelligence asset. He was a diplomat, folks. It was a political investigation. That's why this is so embarrassing for the United Kingdom. Do I have to do this again? Let me read this to you one last time, because I know liberals who read this have a tough time. Joe's heard this headline so many times, he's probably tired of it. Here it is, folks. April 14th, 2017, CNN Politics, by Jim Sciutto, Pam Brown, and Eric Bradner. British intelligence passed Trump associates' communications with Russians on to U.S. counterparts. Ladies and gentlemen, I guarantee you those channels were political too. They were political. What do I mean by that? Whereas the Downer meeting, understand what I'm telling you, was a political to intelligence channel. Downer was a politician. He was a diplomat. He was on the political side. He passed his information to who, Joe? The U.S. State Department. Mm-hmm. Diplomats, political appointees, not through official intelligence channels. Why is that headline from CNN so devastating? Because the United Kingdom's about to be embarrassed again. Because people associated with British intelligence reverse the flow. Reminds me of Ghostbusters, you know, reverse the stream. Like, no, cross the streams, cross the stream. Remember that? That's so stupid, that movie, when you look back. What happened? Whereas Downer was political into the intelligence, laundering information into the intelligence field in the United States, Joe, the British intelligence channel was the reverse. UK intelligence, I strongly believe, and our book covers this pretty extensively, British intelligence and associated intelligence officials laundering information into the political arena in the United States. Now, let's go back to square one. I just told you that intelligence like this is supposed to be passed from intelligence to intelligence bureau to make sure that the information is clean and vetted. On neither case did it happen. British intelligence passed information to politicians, not intel to intel. Diplomats and politicians passed information to U.S. intel, politician to intel again. Get it? Got it? Good. This is huge. That is what Trump was hinting. That's what Nunes was talking about in the Nunes translator. And that's why it's critical you understand what's going on. Intel to intel, political to intel, that's what happened. That exposes paragraph one as this being a politically motivated investigation from day one and from the get-go. Folks, this is huge. This is really, really important stuff. This is devastating. This case is all starting to unwind on them, and the Democrats are panicking completely. By the way, that's also why this Kavanaugh obstruction red line effort works for them well. They need to get this out of the news. Under any and all circumstances, this case is going to get really ugly really, really fast. Okay. I'm sorry, I've got so much here. I just don't want to lose you. All right, let me just get through this last thing. Again, I always appreciate your patience with our sponsors. They want to be here. They want to talk to you. They pay for the show, and they keep it free. So thank you very much for all your patience. We have great sponsors, Brick House Nutrition being one of them. They're one of our original sponsors. Miles from Brick House has been with us from the beginning, and one of the reasons I keep them and they keep us is because you're a great audience, but they're really great products too. I swear by them. Field of Greens is one of my favorite products out there. You know, every doctor, medical professional, nutritionist, personal trainer will tell you what, Joe, eat your fruits and vegetables. It's obvious. It matters. Those life-enhancing micronutrients that, you know, God put into these things from the coloring in these things, nobody questions the benefit to your life, cognitive, physical, your mental health, your physical health of a diet with voluminous amounts of fruits and vegetables. Here's a quick way to get your fruit and vegetable insurance, and not with a lot of those crappy pills out there that, candidly, folks, are extract. Brick House Nutrition put together a real food product. Field of Greens is authentic, real food. It's not an extract. This is ground up fruits and vegetables. They remove the water, so you get a lot of the fruits and vegetables, up to 90% of water. But you keep all those life-enhancing ingredients. It has fruits in it, delicious tasting blueberries, raspberries. It tastes delicious. comes in a little jar. You take a scoop, you put it in some orange juice, put it in some water, put it in some green tea. It tastes delicious. Take a scoop. I take two scoops per day. My daughters take it. My wife takes it. My mother-in-law loves it. She swears that, I'm not making this up. She's, Daddy, you look so young on TV. She swears that has something to do with it. Go give it a shot. Go to brickhousenutrition.com/Dan. That's brickhousenutrition.com/Dan. Pick up a jar of Field of Greens today. You will not regret it. I swear by this product. It is absolutely terrific. And give Foundation a look, too, when you're over there. It's another one of their great products. brickhousenutrition.com/Dan. Check it out. Okay. I don't know where to go first, so let me just cover quickly, and hat tip to one of my sources on this. You know who you are. Peter Stroke. One of the questions we've been getting a lot about Peter Stroke is, why was Peter Stroke not fired by the FBI sooner? You all know Peter Stroke was the lead investigator, was a senior level manager in the FBI on both the Hillary Clinton email case and on the Trump-Russia case. The texts, of course, with his girlfriend and FBI lawyer Lisa Page were made public. He was embarrassed. He was kicked off the team. But I got an interesting tip on Peter Stroke that I wanted to pass on to you. Because this is also one of the guys, a reporter at the New York Times, who is still covering the case, and I find this fascinating. I've been repeatedly saying to you folks that there's an effort, an ongoing effort, and you can go back and listen to DNI, Dan Coats, and Jeff Sessions early in the Trump presidency talking about an effort to weed out leakers within the United States government. This happened not long into the Trump presidency. They gave a press conference on it. So it's not a secret that there's been an ongoing effort to do that. I had suggested to you a while ago, Joe, that I think they left Peter Stroke in the FBI instead of firing him as long as they did, because Peter Stroke was being targeted as a potential leaker. And he may have been being fed, Joe. This is important. He may have been being fed intentionally false information to see how the information got out. Now, I got an interesting tip this weekend on something. Now, here's a quote from a Sarah Carter piece. Again, you know who you are, so thanks for the tip. Sarah Carter writes in a piece titled "A New Stroke Text Page, The Times is Angry with Us About the Washington Post Scoop." Listen to this, Joe. Peter Stroke writes in a text message to Page about a writer named Michael Schmidt from the New York Times. Quote, "Also, apparently, Times is angry with us about the Washington Post scoop and earlier discussion we had about the Schmidt piece that had so many inaccuracies. Too much to detail here, but I told Mike, redacted, this is probably another Mike, and Andy, they need to understand we were absolutely dealing in good faith with them." Whoa! Hey now, great pickup. Now, the Stroke canary trap has been a subject of this show for a long time, but this is a text. You're right. This was a great pickup. Do you see what he's saying there in the text to his girlfriend? Yeah. Siri, funny. Siri thinks of it. You hear Siri? I said Sirius, not Siri. Be quiet, Siri. She's all mad at me now. This is a great pickup. In the text, Stroke is clear as day that this Michael Schmidt piece, a guy who's been involved in a number of Joe's scoops here, wrote a piece with a lot of inaccuracies, and he says in the following sentence, Joe, "but we've been dealing with him in good faith." Well, how were those pieces inaccurate if Peter Stroke was the lead investigator in the case? Folks, again, I'm not telling you to fall in love with the Sessions Justice Department. I am really, really, at this point, done with a lot of what's going on. I'm going to get to Rosenstein in a second, too. I just want to leave this here. Maybe Peter Stroke wasn't fired and they kept him on to the end because this fool was being set up the whole time. He's texting his girlfriend about all these inaccuracies in a case he's working, and in the same tweet, subsequently says in the exact same tweet, "but I was dealing with him in good faith." Well, where did you get the inaccuracies from? How many people are about to go down? Again, I'm frustrated with the Sessions Justice Department. I'm going to get to that in a second with Rosenstein and everything else going on. But I just want you to smile a little bit, folks, that there may be people who have been inadvertently a part of multiple canary traps, leak traps, who have been feeding intentionally inaccurate information that was fed to them on purpose to out them. That may be what's next. I have only told you for the last, what, Joe, 6 months, that the problem with this case that all of the Spygate participants are going to have are not the political ramifications, it's the legal ramifications of leaking potentially classified information to reporters, which is a crime. Crime also has a lot to do, I believe, with what's going on with all these leaks about Rosenstein as well. Now, I got a lot of negative feedback from you, which is fine. I don't put my email out there to hear everybody love me all the time, although I do get upset when people take personal shots. There's no need for that. I don't. I love you all. I don't need it. But some people were very upset, and they sent me emails about my coverage of the Rosenstein incident. Rosenstein must be fired. I am not backtracking on that one bit. Now, I will stipulate, and it should have been clear, that yes, it should happen after the midterms. We can't lose here, folks. There's no room for error here, and it's right around the corner. I should have been clear on that. Mark Levin is my buddy. I love Mark to death. Mark is a prescient human being who is way ahead of this stuff. But Mark and I, don't agree on everything all the time. And the thing I've always loved about Mark is Mark's not the kind of guy that if you don't agree with him, he writes you off. Mark likes independent thinkers. I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to give you behind the scenes into the character of Mark Levin. I know Mark over a long time at a very personal level. He's one of the finest men I've ever met in my entire life. But I'm not sure that this may be a trap. Mark believes the leak about Rosenstein. You know what? I'm sorry. I didn't set that up right, and my apologies. The story leaked out on Friday night. I'm assuming you all know, and I shouldn't know that. The story leaked out on Friday night in the press that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein had threatened to wire himself up while talking to the president in an effort to remove him using the 25th Amendment, which enables a majority of the cabinet and a supermajority of the Senate and the House, if the president fights it, to remove the president for mental or physical incapacitation. Are we tracking, Joe? And the story was that the leak provided to the reporters here, the Times, was that Rosenstein was a central player in this, that Rosenstein had suggested the idea that he wire up to show just how mentally incapacitated, air quotes there, that the president was. The story was a huge bombshell. Unfortunately, it's been lost over the weekend and all the other stuff. Now, Mark has a theory that this was a trap, that the memos Andy McCabe wrote, which document this, Andy McCabe was the number two at the FBI, may have been leaked intentionally as a way to get Trump to fire Rosenstein, to create a political revolt, and to get Trump, in fact, impeached. I don't disagree that McCabe and his team, that this should be considered a possibility. I don't. And I don't disagree that this can be a trap. But I don't believe that the trap and the firing of Rosenstein are the same story. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? The trap theory is that if they fire Rosenstein now, that it's a trap before the election. I agree, they shouldn't fire Rosenstein now. But Rosenstein must go. Now, just to be clear, just because it's a trap doesn't mean it was a good one. Am I making sense?
I think so.
McCabe's team, the allegation is that McCabe's team may have leaked the memos, because the meeting with Rosenstein about the 25th Amendment in The Wire was with Andy McCabe and Lisa Page. The allegation is that McCabe is leaking these memos now because him and Rosenstein don't like each other. They want Trump to move and fire Rosenstein. So McCabe's legal team, in an effort to hurt Trump further, is going to create a political revolt as the left goes crazy about the firing of Rosenstein like they did about Comey. And McCabe, in turn, can distract Trump, get him out of office. And McCabe maybe gets a legal pass on his legal liability in what I believe are a lot of serious leak cases.
Better. Yeah, there you go.
You get make sense, folks? I'm sorry if I got long winded there, but it's important you understand this. I want to separate the two stories, though. This is what I'm trying to do. If it was a trap and you believe that, it doesn't mean it was a good one, okay? I believe Rosenstein has to be fired, whether it was a trap or not, granted, after the midterms. And I want to lay out the case for you why right now, why I think this is important. Andy McCarthy has a terrific must-read piece at my show notes today at Bongino.com, which lays out in an incredibly elegant fashion exactly what's going on with Rosenstein and why he has to go stat after the election. Number one, Rosenstein does not deny the story, Joe. His denials of trying to enact the 25th Amendment and wiring himself up are very, very generic. He calls the story inaccurate and factually incorrect, but he doesn't call out the specifics of the story. Second, as McCarthy points out, which is a brilliant analysis, Rosenstein says, I don't trust anonymous sources because this was an anonymously sourced story. Mm-hmm. Really? Joe, what else was anonymously sourced that Rosenstein relied on to sign the fourth FISA? Oh, the dossier. So all of a sudden, I didn't forget that, by the way, folks. I did not forget. This is how I circle everything back together. Ooh, okay. Yeah. I'm going to get to that. I didn't forget that in the initial story. Rosenstein doesn't believe anonymous sources. The whole FISA warrant was based on a dossier, which was basically anonymous sources in Russia that are never named.
Shazam
is right. Did you read the dossier? Russian intelligence official one. Who's that? Oh, I don't know. It's all anonymously sourced. Number three. What is this? Gosh, what did I write here? Oh, he says in his denial. I'm sorry. Sometimes it's hard to read my own writing. I write like a doctor. I wish I thought like one. He says there is no basis. This is Rosenstein's rebuttal. There is no basis for the 25th Amendment to be enacted, that the president is incapacitated mentally or physically. We're not saying is. This meeting happened in May, right around the time of the Comey firing. No one's asking you now how you feel. We're asking you what you said in May of 2017 when you met with McCabe. Folks, you have to understand Rosenstein to understand what happens. This is a non-denial denial, Joe, which says to me it happened. Which says to me again, whether this was a trap or not doesn't mean it's a good one. I agree with Mark and others. He should not be fired now. But after the election, this guy has to go. If the Deputy Attorney General of the United States of America had a credible conversation about removing the president by a de facto impeachment using the 25th Amendment, he has absolutely got to go for talking about what is essentially a soft coup. Oh, you don't like the language? Too bad. So sad. That's exactly what that is. He has got to go. No question about it. Now, you have to know Rod Rosenstein to understand what's going on. I worked for Rod Rosenstein when he was the United States Attorney in Maryland. Rod Rosenstein, his entire career, has been a fence walker. He walks down the middle of the fence and never takes a position either way that's going to alienate either side. Read Andy's piece. He lays it out in detail. What happened to Rod Rosenstein? And why is he looking to become a senior member of the resistance right now? Because, folks, he was a Bush appointee that Obama confirmed. This guy, his entire career, has made a living out of never alienating either side of the political aisle and taking positions that would ingratiate himself to both Democrats and Republicans. What happened? Rosenstein wrote the Comey memo. Remember when Jim Comey got fired? The memo Donald Trump based it on? Rosenstein wrote that memo believing he was going to straddle the fence again. Why, Joe? Comey was hated at the time by both Democrats and Republicans. But as McCarthy points out, Rosenstein grossly misread the Democrats. Priority number one for the Democrats, Joe, was what? To attack Donald Trump. They all of a sudden needed a way to hit him. They saw this firing of Comey as an opportunity. They threw Hillary Clinton overboard, even though Hillary's team still hated Comey, and they used it as an obstruction of justice charge. Rosenstein panicked. He freaked because the Democrats went after him, never realizing that that was going to happen. Rosenstein thought he'd be a hero to the Democrats. Look, I got rid of the guy who cost your candidate the election.
I think he's a nut.
Yeah, they did. And they went after Rod. And Rod didn't like it. So Rod spent his entire time, Rosenstein, trying after that to re-ingratiate himself back with the partisan left. What did we have? We had the special counsel probe. We had the fourth FISA being signed by who? Oh, Rod Rosenstein, right after that. We have this conversation, allegedly, about the 25th Amendment. When you understand Rod Rosenstein's history as never taking a position on either side, and Rod Rosenstein's desperate efforts after signing the memo to get rid of James Comey and being blamed by the left. Look, Rosenstein's in on this too. Fire Comey, obstruction of justice. Rosenstein had to spend the rest of his time kissing the collective butts of the left, and this is what he did. This is where this 25th Amendment comes from. This is where the FISA warrant comes from. This is where all of the Comey, the backtracking on Comey and all the back channel leaks against Trump comes from, and this is where the ingratiating himself to the left comes from. He is trying to make penance, folks. Now do you understand my case? For all you people who email me, thank you. I appreciate your emails. Don't fire Rosenstein. It's a trap. It may be. It doesn't mean it's a good one. It's an awful trap. Folks, we are not talking about good choices here. As I said to my wife this weekend, we are talking about bad choices and worse choices. The bad choice is to fire Rosenstein after the election. The worst choice is to not fire Rosenstein after the election. He is the puppet master of this entire thing. He has got to go. Full stop. Read the McCarthy piece. You will be absolutely convinced. Now, one final note to tie it up. I did not forget. Initially, I started talking about Devin Nunes and how the United Kingdom and the foreign intelligence outlets were exposing, where a fear of being exposed, the political to intel channel, in what should have been an intel to intel channel. But I said to you, Nunes does mention the FISA warrant and the dossier, but he asks an interesting question and immediately moves on to the Downer meeting, which covers the political to intel channel they're trying to hide, the information laundering operation. Why did he mention that? He mentioned that because everybody now knows. I'm take it to the bank, folks. Cash that check. Everybody now knows the dossier is a complete, total hoax. Everyone. Nunes knows full well that the United Kingdom does not have access to what happens in our FISA courts. But what do they have access to, Joe? Christopher Steele, who is a former British intelligence agency with deep connections to people still involved in the UK intelligence community. The United Kingdom intelligence community, take my word for this, I'm getting this from good folks, is absolutely horrified at what Steele did. Steele became a mercenary. He sold his services and his connections to the United Kingdom intelligence outlets to put a fake dossier together that made its way inside of the FISA warrant. Again, turn on the Nunes translator. How would the United Kingdom and the Aussies know what's in the FISA? They don't, but they sure as hell know what's in the dossier provided by their guy who humiliated them, and now it's all going to come out. Not only the political to intelligence channel instead of the intel to intel one they were responsibly supposed to enact, but also their guy's fake dossier was used in a United States court system as the sole basis to spy on a political candidate.
Where's the fan, Dan? Where's the fan? Move it.
That one is going I know. Yeah. That one is going to sting, isn't it? That is why the United Kingdom is balking on this. Man, was that a stacked show. Please read the show notes today. I have a full summary of the Mueller probe that Matt Palumbo put together at Bongino.com. It's in the show notes. That explains to you, I want you to send it to your liberal friends, what everybody's been indicted for and prosecuted for. And you're going to notice one thing missing in all of the layout. Collusion. There's no collusion anywhere. Matt did a great job. That's there today. Thanks for your patience today, folks. I went a little longer, but please subscribe to the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeart. It's free. That's what moves us up the charts, though. We really appreciate it. Spread the word. Share the content. Means the world to me. Thanks for all the feedback. I will talk to you all tomorrow.
You just heard the Dan Bongino Show. Get more of Dan online anytime at conservativereview.com. You can also get Dan's podcasts on iTunes or SoundCloud. And follow Dan on Twitter 24/7 at DBongino.